Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
The villain, he wears a mask to cover the raw flesh, a rather ugly brother with flows with gorgeous. The villain's in the building. It's the caller's cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network. The call-in number, as always, 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90 minutes, talking a little sports, talking some football, talking some basketball, hopefully avoiding baseball because my team stinks right now. But, you know, we got to get it in, too. I got my co-host. I took over the board. I took over. I had a villain, Mad Invasion. But, you know, the man himself, the boss man, the head honcho, the Jigga Man, or the Rock, I guess you could call him, TP Timeless, the superhero himself is in the building. TP, how you feeling, brother?
He talked about the mask without him, took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. You already know what time it is. I'm back in the building. And, of course, he's trying to take over, but I got y'all. Don't worry. And, oh, yes, it's a beautiful day when the pinstripes are doing horrible. This is great. This is a lovely thing to talk about. But my twins are doing bad at the same time. But all in all, everything that's happening in Minnesota right now, I'm so ecstatic with everything that's going on in the state of Minnesota. So shout out to everything that's going on. I'm just hoping that the Twins could bounce back. The Wolves somehow are winning games. And it's like, wait, are you guys trying to tank or are you guys trying to, you know, win games? I don't know what they're up to, but everybody's playing better out there in Minnesota. It's just the Twins are laughing. I'm like, it must be because of me. But we'll get into that. We'll get into the thick of things, but it's a beautiful day. When the Yankees
well, I think
are
that Minnesota is doing much better now.
Yeah,
exactly. Thank you. I think Minnesota is doing much better now that they might have new ownership in the building. Mr. A-Rod and less J-Lo. I mean, I think it would be a better group if J-Lo was in the group. But, you know, we get what we can get. So Minnesota is doing big things. And shout out to everybody. Prayers to the Floyd family after the decision yesterday, obviously. That, you know, had the world at a standstill, you know, with Chauvin being convicted on all three counts, all three. But either way, I got my main man, Easy E, Big Eric, E, Big Money E. Put some respect on Eric's name, man. He's the man. Eric, what's up, brother?
Good evening, my brothers. I'm feeling great. Happy to be on here tonight with you guys, ready to talk some sports. And, yeah, good things happening, man. Hopefully this is a trend that happens nationwide because these cops need to be stopped.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, held accountable. You know, it's you know, there's no such thing to me. I don't care. Any of my friends, you can unfriend me if you want. There's no such thing as Blue Lives Matter, you know, or All Lives Matter, all that crap. Listen, man, you're here to protect and serve. You know what I mean? You're not an endangered species. So there's no such thing. I don't know any blue people. You know, I haven't seen any, what, you could say Yondu
exactly.
from Marvel. You can say the Blue Man Group. You can put any kind of blue people you want. I mean, this ain't Avatar, so I don't know where you can't put anyway.
Barry, you gotta see Fox News and the lady Laura Ingraham. She had a special last night to still try to pick on everything last night. I watched that today. I was like, that's disgusting. Like, disgusting.
Wow.
And then try to bring a former cop. She brought a former police officer, an African-American cop, to, coddle the situation. It's like, wait, this guy died, and you're still trying to find the bad in it. And so she kind of brought up there's still people killing each other in Chicago. What about that? Let's talk about the black-on-black crime. I'm like, wait, you're trying to steal attention from what just happened? And this has been happening for decades?
Yeah.
It's a century?
Trying to say
you're
that
trying
it
to
was right. It's justified. Oh,
what?
I saw that. I saw that link. Yeah, it is. I saw the link.
It won't.
And I saw the link that our boy Mike Coney posted of that cop. I think it was an African American cop, basically saying, you know, that they get money from lawsuits when they get shot by the cop, like basically saying we're out looking to get killed by cops so our family can get a lawsuit money. Like, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. To try and say, first of all, there's no such thing as black on black crime. Okay. It's called crime. Crime is crime. It doesn't have a color.
Period.
To it. Okay. Black on black crime is a figment of your imagination created by the white media to demonize black people, to make us look like animals. And to say, okay, if a white person shoots somebody, that's crime. But if a black person shoots somebody, that's crime too. But if they shoot each other, it's black on black crime. That's even worse. Don't get me started. The call-in number is 929-477-2759.
It's absolute insanity, gentlemen.
Wait, hold on.
So what just happened? The young kid in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
they shot up FedEx
mm-hmm.
19, and they said he was looking at
yep.
white supremacist groups. There was a shooting that just
mm-hmm.
happened down there in Texas, too, right? What just happened in Texas?
Yep.
Three people in Austin, and they were, high school athletes, and, some of them were, promised to go to, college and do good things, too. And
mm-hmm.
it's always going to be tit for tat, especially when it's, something that makes you feel good. There's always, a downside to it, and it's like, why is news and media so soaked into, having controversial situations or having that sell? It's funny. It's baffling.
Yeah, you're so right. The shooting in Indiana at the FedEx, was that white-on-white crime? No, there's no such thing. Because basically, I like to quote my one of my favorite rappers. TP gives me a hard time, but I love Skyzoo. From Brooklyn. They don't want us to win. They don't want us to win. That's basically how they demonize us. They don't want us to get ahead. They don't want us to pull even. They want to keep us under their thumb. But we could talk about this all day. I mean, TP is so right. I mean, it's all BS. You have to watch Fix News, even though Fix News is there to kind of put their right-wing slant and tell you the lies and try to say the left is lying. You got to know what the enemy's talking about. You got to know what they're thinking. So, that's why you watch Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and all these clowns. I can't believe I said their name on this show. But, they're, you can't appreciate heaven without a hell, and you won't have angels and devils. So you got to have devils out there. That's enough of my preaching for today. I didn't go to theology school. I just read the Bible. Anyway, back to the world of sports. I'll get to it quick. My Yankees suck. You guys can chime in. Me and Eric were talking about it. It's a disaster.
No. You don't just slide that in and try to get past. Stop. No. Proceed to the show. We'll get there. We'll get there.
I just tried to get it out of the way.
No, you don't. Don't even try to slide that in. Listen, people, we will get back to those pinstripes shortly. Don't you just wait. There is a
All
lot
right,
of growing.
Fine. We'll get to it. But we'll definitely have
no,
a lot
no worry,
of time
No worries.
Tomorrow.
Listen, look. When you put a steak on the grill, When you put a steak on the grill, it looks like pinstripes. Don't worry, I got a big old.
Well, I'll make those the ribs. You got to slow cook those, so I'll let those slow cook on the cool side, and we'll go to the hot part of the grill and start off over there. So, you know, a lot of things going on. We'll talk about some more baseball tomorrow on the Baseball Buffet with Nate and Dave tomorrow, 9 o'clock on the Sports City Chef Network. Got to get a little plug there. But listen, big news out of the world in the NBA. I'll start there. Anthony Davis looks like he's ready to return tomorrow against the Dallas Mavs, coming off the injured list after that kind of – we don't know if it was an Achilles strain or tear or whatever. He said it wasn't torn, but, you know, Davis says he feels 100% healthy after the calf strain, and he's ready to go. I mean, some of the quotes that he had after he announced that he was ready to go 100%, he said, I never tore the Achilles, but it kind of felt like a sharp pain, like it was ripping, which I never felt before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, getting him back, getting, you know, and obviously having Andrew Drummond in the fold gives the Lakers a nice little leg up from Frank Vogel and squad. LeBron James probably, you know, has a couple weeks to go, they're saying, before rejoining the lineup. But the Lakers, you know, listen, what we said they had to do, they've kind of done, played around 500 ball, a little under 500, but kind of, you know, kept afloat until their stars started to get back. Now Anthony Davis hopefully doesn't have to take a lot of the load, but, you know, can come back and get this team ready for the playoff run. So I'll start with you, Big E, Easy E, since this is your Laker team. Anthony Davis set to return from the injured list and rejoin the Lakers against the Mavs tomorrow night. Give me your quick thoughts on that, his status, how you think his impact will be, and if he can remain healthy, especially for the stretch run pulling into the playoffs, that there's about 15 games left in the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt big news for the Lakers. But if I'm them, I'm resting Anthony Davis. I'm not going to have him out there playing 35 minutes a game. Maybe 20, 25, get him into, you know, get him going into things and then keep him healthy for the playoffs. They've done a nice job, everybody coming together. Drummond was a big addition. He's been playing really well. He's getting acclimated with the offense and the way things are. Talen Horton-Tucker stepped up huge. Even Gasol, he was non-existent the whole year. He's starting to put it on. So it's looking good there. If LeBron James comes back and this team is healthy on all cylinders, they're pretty much, the Jazz and the Suns are playing great. But this Laker team with what they have now with Anthony Davis and LeBron James still would be the favorite to win a 7-game series against either of those teams, in my opinion. It's great news, but if I'm the Lakers, I'm not rushing Anthony Davis. I'm not having him play all kinds of minutes because him playing 20 to 25 minutes with the way the Lakers are playing, they can still etch out some W's. So wait till LeBron James comes back. You got 15 games left before the playoffs. You want everybody healthy come playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, I love your points. I mean, I don't push that guy. I think I'm getting him conditioned. I'm getting him ready. But I'm not getting like a horse,
yep,
you know, the trailer hooked onto him and trying to tell him to pull us to the playoffs. And I think in the 5 seed right now, in the playoffs, not terrible. LeBron's come from, 3-4 before to pull into the playoffs. It doesn't matter where you start, it's where you finish. In a 7-game series with LeBron, he's pretty tough to beat. So. Yeah, I totally agree with you. TP, give me your handicap on Anthony Davis. Where do you see him? Where do you see him playing minutes wise as the Lakers pull into the stretch run? What kind of impact should he have? Can he remain healthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
No more than 28 or 32. I want to watch that. I want them to keep him in the 20s as much as possible. I think 28 is feasible because then they could do 7 a quarter. You know what I'm saying? Let them get out there as best as possible, and they could play with the minutes, stagger them, especially in the fourth where they could, chill at the top end of the quarter and then put them in the fourth where if they need him to close and be another defensive anchor, that'd be helpful. So I say 28 to 32 and then ramp it up as he gets comfortable. But the way that he walked off the floor in Denver, it still bothers me. As much as I don't want to see the Lakers win, I still I'm not going to lie. I'm an Anthony Davis fan and want to see everybody do well. I want to see nobody hurt. And it's like, these guys are big. Like, they're 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet. They are on those wheels all day long, let alone running at a pace at a professional basketball level. So it's like, he can't just go out there and jog. He's going to have to deal with guys banging with him, backing him down in the post and putting pressure on those legs. So everything counts for Anthony Davis. They are going to have to watch that cautiously because there is too much money invested into that name, the Brow. So they have to watch that, especially in the Western Conference where I don't want to be brutal, but it's true. If I was a team in the Western Conference and we're playing the Lakers, yo, go at him right now. Keep running. Run the ball. Run. He got to get off the floor if that's me. I don't want to be the Grinch that stole Christmas or feel like I'm some evil dude, but we got to take advantage of that. We ain't trying to sit up here and lose to the Lakers so they can get momentum after winning a championship. We got to see if them legs is a go. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I brutally feel about that situation.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if he shows any kind of weakness, you have to attack. You have to go after him. Why wouldn't you? You're not going to take it easy on him and let them beat you, right? So I totally agree with you. You have to do it. You have to go at him, and you got to go hard. I agree with you, too. I think 25 minutes is a nice range for him just to get his feet wet, get his legs under him. And you want to kind of see him on the court with Drummond, see how those two mesh together, how one plays off the other. I think, some of the numbers that kind of bother me with Davis is his three-point shooting is kind of going down year to year to year. So he's going to have to play on the perimeter a little bit more if he's playing with Drummond. So, you got to get those two together. You got to get his stroke back so when the playoffs come, he's ready to go and he's going to make an impact. Because to your point, yeah, LeBron and AD in a series, tough to beat. They haven't been beat yet. It's a small sample size, but they haven't been beat yet. But I got another caller in queue. I'm going to bring him in from the 412-703-1234-56. I can't remember all the zip codes. DP is way better at that. But I got Sirius in the building. Sirius, how you feeling this evening on the cookout?
You know, man, I stepped back in the building, heard the homie back, man. Glad my man is good, man. Barry the Villain was cracking, man. Let's get to work, man.
Absolutely, man. Great to hear everybody's voice again. Back in the saddle again, everybody's feeling good. But, we're kicking around some of that Anthony Davis talk. You brought it to me today, and I definitely want to lead the show with that, that Anthony Davis is healthy. He's ready to go. He's going to make his return against the Mavs, against Luka Doncic and that other guy, the tall Batman and Robin. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, KP. he's going to make his return against the Mavs. Give me your thoughts, man. What do you think about Anthony Davis coming back from the calf strain? Do you think what kind of minutes do you think he should play? All that good stuff. Give me the rundown, brother.
You know, honestly, man, when you start to look at the grand scheme of things, that doesn't mean too much, in the grand scheme of things. I think that with Anthony Davis being able to come back, I think that he's going to get there and he's just going to do what he has to do. If you're talking about a thing of minutes, I think, honestly, he's going to play anywhere. I think PP said 20, 28, 32. I think that's a tad bit much. I'm assuming maybe 22, 25, maybe, and I think they'll progressively get increase his minutes, if they have the opportunity to sit him, in the fourth because, they're blowing somebody out or a lineup or something like that is cooking, I think they'll do that. But at the end of the day, man, this is good news. I can't wait to see him back on the floor, see how he's healing, see how he's progressing. And it all sets the table and sets the stage for when LeBron gets back shortly thereafter. And, their pieces are starting to come together where another team's pieces are starting to fall apart and disintegrate. I'm sure we'll talk about that later on in the show. But it's going to be interesting to see what this Lakers team looks like once you know, everybody gets back and, you know, see how the ball gets distributed. I overheard you allude to the fact that, you know, with Andre Drummond now in the fold, it's going to alter a little bit how Anthony Davis plays in the painted area and, you know, close to the basket. I'm not too sure it's going to change much. And you know, because Drummond is a guy who can hit a jump shot, you know. So depending upon what the matchup would dictate, you know, this gives the Los Angeles Lakers a little more flexibility and a little more movement and play calling and selection and attacking matchups. Because, again, I understand that Anthony Davis's perimeter jump shot isn't what it was, but the brother can still hit a jump shot consistently. Andre Drummond is not known for stepping back and hitting a 15-footer, but once again, if AD's cooking or if LeBron is cooking, Drummond can step back and hit a jump ball or facilitate. And, you know, one thing that Andre Drummond is really slept on his ability to see the floor and pass the rock, i.e. a Kevin Love type back in the day or a Chris Bosh type back in the day. So if this comes together and if this works and Anthony Davis and LeBron James are able to stay healthy and the Los Angeles Lakers don't, you know, endure any other injuries going down the stretch, this is going to be a very difficult team to beat because they have all the size. They have all the size.
Yeah, and I think that was what was missing from this team. Even though they got a more skilled center in Marc Gasol compared to JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, I think they were missing that intimidating size that you can't go in the paint, and then it kind of helps extend the defense where you can guard the three-point line because you have rim protectors covering up mistakes behind you. So I think that makes a huge difference. Now you just got to get them on the court and get them playing together so that you can see how it fits and how it meshes together. I agree with that. Listen, I don't know if, you know, I agree with everybody. I think the minutes limit is where they go. I wonder if it's like, if it's a Michael Jordan case, like we saw in The Last Dance where, you know, they literally had a clock on Michael Jordan when he came back from that, that foot fracture. And, you know, towards the end of the year, he could only play so many minutes, and you heard that buzzer, and he had to come out of the game, and that was it. But then once the playoffs came, he was unleashed, and he went for 63 against that really good Celtics team. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. But, you know, I honestly think they're going to play it cautiously. They better. I mean, that's obvious. If they don't play it, because they better have a good reason why they didn't. Because, like TP said, there's a lot of money invested in that man. You don't want to mess up the money. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody else has anything to throw around with that Anthony Davis topic. You know, we can leave that on the grill. We can start cooking something else. I don't want to cook any vegetables, but you know, we got to cook something on that. You know. All right, that's it.
Keep it going.
We can roll. We can roll. Anthony Davis off the grill. Let's move on. So, Sirius alluded to it. I definitely want to bring it up. That the Brooklyn Nets, their MVP candidate. Let's put some respect on it. James Harden had a setback with his hamstring injury, and now is going to be pretty much reevaluated. As it pertains to that injury, we're not sure how long it's going to keep him out. You know, we're not getting a lot of answers, but you know, Durant has the issue with his thigh as well. He's missing. You know, he missed a game or two here and there. So, you know, their stars. It doesn't look like their stars, all three, are going to see much court time before the playoffs start. They've only played about 7 games together. And now with Harden, you know, with the setback, who knows when he's going to get back. So I'll start with you, TP. Can this Brooklyn team make any type of run with two of the three guys, the big three, on the court? Or do they need to have all three on the court? And what does this setback for Harden mean? Maybe not for the MVP race, but maybe just in general for the Brooklyn Nets in their title chase this year.
Oh, yes, they can still make a run. And it can't just be – I want people to, like, look and listen to the narrative all year long, right? And they have only played seven games, right? So out the gate, oh, Brooklyn can't play defense. They're not going to do anything. Next thing you know, they start ramping up the offense. They start scoring, oh, well, let's chill out. Let's the Brooklyn look like a juggernaut. Then they start getting pieces. And shout out to LaMarcus Aldridge. You took my heart, you know, now that you got a regular heartbeat and you got to sit down. And like, my heart's involved because I'm a LaMarcus fan. But and then get Blake there. Like, what happened to the Blake Griffin situation? Like Blake's not there. Jeff Green is still a utility guy, Georgetown Hoyer. You know what I'm saying? Like, they act like Jeff garbage, or they act like Joe Harris don't put the ball up and shoot. Like, Joe Harris ain't shooting at a 50% clip. Like, they still got pieces there. They're going to end up bumping into a Charlotte team that's injured right now. Like, and I don't think Charlotte in a seven-game series can knock off Brooklyn. Even if Brooklyn had to win all four home games and pummel Charlotte that way and advance and wait for these guys to get together as best as possible. Mike D'Antoni's seen it before with Chris Paul with a lingering. I think it might have been a hamstring injury before. So it's like if they're going to be injured, I don't want to say it the wrong way, and I don't want karma to bite me or them, but it's like it's good that they're getting injured now and healing the same way that the Lakers are trying to get into this thing, because it's like we got to watch what Harden was up to, because when Harden got there, Harden was in MVP discussion. So it's like get him there at least at the doorstep of the playoffs, let him get at least that last week of play to, like, get his shot up and get some of that rust off as best as possible, because after that reevaluation, they're like, let's watch this, because it's like every season you've seen Harden gas out when they get to the postseason, and it's like KD's situation was just a knee-knocking situation, and he's day-to-day, and he's expected to be back this week. So I'm not really that much concerned about KD because he looked all right while he was out there on the floor, just that, you know, bad timing of, you know, somebody fouling him and they knock knees at the same time. But Kyrie is still a dog. Kyrie is still a point guard that I don't think the top three defending point guards could deal with. I think Avery Bradley and maybe a little bit of Russell Westbrook can cover him. Other than that, there is no point guard that's going to slow Kyrie down. Plus, Kyrie has a chip on his shoulder. And everybody's been talking about his mental health and this, that, and the third, and he can't do this. And you got guys like SAS talking about he needs to retire. Like, no, he does not need to retire. He's a human being. People deal with stuff in their life. So you got to think that he has a dog in him to go out there and try to do something. So I still feel at least the first round they'll get out. They'll start to figure out how things will go down in the second round. And if they do get past second round and get to, you know, the conference final, then they have to dig. But they are in a favorable position out east because take it how you want. I still feel like the Eastern Conference is still the weaker conference out of the East or West. So, and they all have a chip on the shoulder. James Harden doesn't have a championship. You know, all of the talk about Kyrie and LeBron and all of that stuff that's going on, and Kevin Durant getting away from Golden State and all of the stuff about him and Russ and all of the narratives that's drawn, they got a picture that they're trying to paint too. So you got to think that they're taking this personal just as well. So that, believe me, it ain't going to be no easy win for any team that's trying to walk up to Brooklyn and punch them in the face also.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be – they got some talent. They're going to be a tough out. I mean, I just don't know in the second round as it currently stands, they got to play the Bucks. If the Bucks move on, that's an if, because we thought they were going to move on last year and they got blitzed. But, you know, I don't know if they – without their two of the three, can they beat that Bucks team? We'll see. You know, I think Durant not playing again tonight, you know, with the thigh injury, it bothers me. You know, Harden, you know, it looks like he's not going to be ready until the playoffs. So, you know, it's just more chemistry for me than if anything. But, Eric, I'll let you handle it. What do you think about the Harden injury and how it's going to affect the Brooklyn Nets for the rest of the season and heading into the playoffs? Can they make a deep run with the bevy of injuries that they're starting to sustain?
You know, if they don't have these guys they can maybe get past the first round, but once they get up against the Sixers or if the Bucks are firing on all cylinders, it's going to be tough to beat them in a seven-game series. Because, like you just touched on, chemistry. You know, they brought in Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and now they're not going to be able to use L.A. He's out with the heart murmur, you know. So we pray for a speedy recovery for him. Hopefully this isn't the end of his career. But it's not a good sign when you're having heart problems. So we all know this is a very, very physical sport. You got to have great cardio to play in this league. So, it's going to be a problem. And right now with James Harden, he's out indefinitely. So we don't know if he is going to be back for the first round of the playoffs. You know, this could be something that it's going to have to wait till after that. So, and like you touched on with Kevin Durant, we don't know how that injury is going to play out. So it's not looking too good for the Brooklyn Nets. Timeless made some great points. They still have some depth. They have some good players. But I don't see them getting past. I mean, they can make a run past the first and maybe second at best. But they're not going to be able to make a run to the finals without a shadow of a doubt, without having all three of these guys there.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough. And, you know, even if they can make it out with two of the three, which is possible, I think two of the three ain't bad. It, you know, if they have to see, like, a good Laker team, a healthy Laker team, But Sirius, I'll let you handle. What do you think about the Harden injury, maybe Durant as well, the retirement of Aldridge, which I don't think we really got into last week. I definitely want to touch on that when we come back around. But handicap the Brooklyn Nets right now with the injuries. Can they survive and make a deep run in the playoffs?
You know, honestly, I'm not too sure they can, to be painfully honest with you, and here's why. You know, the three stars are as good as advertised. They need no endorsement from anybody here. But at the end of the day, when you start going on and talking about playoff runs and making runs and everything, it's about chemistry. It's about, you know, knowing where your guy's going to be and knowing, you know, who does what well and, you know, what particular moment. You know, when you play back the interview that Kevin Durant had a couple weeks ago when they asked him how he felt about playing with Kyrie Irving and playing with James Harden, he likened it to, you know, the time that they all spent together playing USA basketball. And that's all well and good, but USA basketball has – you know, LeBron James on the floor and, you know, all these, you know, NBA superstars who, you know, essentially understand and know that unless the wheels fall off, you know, we went overseas and we pop anybody and anybody in the throat. It doesn't even matter who they line up against us. We're just going over there to represent our country and do our thing. When it comes to the NBA playoffs, it's not like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta be picking on all cylinders at the right time, and you gotta know where your players are at, and what they're gonna be doing for you. You know what I'm saying? I think you alluded to it, you know, when we started this conversation. These guys have played together seven times all year. You know what I'm saying? One or not two of these guys have been out in the duration of the year besides seven games. And so you expected just to throw all these mixtures together and send it out there and come out with a freshly baked cake. I don't think it's going to work like that. Now, I'm not dummy enough to think that, you know, the sheer talent of these men alone is enough to get them some wins in the playoffs and to get them out of the first round or something like that. But what's going to happen when that adversity comes? You know what I'm saying? If they run up against a squad that just has their number, if they run up against somebody where their plan A doesn't work, then what are you going to do? Because now you have to work off instinct. You have to work off what you rehearse. And they don't have time in the bank to rehearse. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has an emergency fund. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is when tragedy strikes, you know that you got X amount of dollars in your emergency fund to pay whatever you need to pay. They don't have that emergency fund in the bank. They haven't put the time in. You feel me? So, again, their talent is great. You know what I'm saying? Harden, MVP candidate. No argument for me. You know what I'm saying? What Kevin Durant and Kyrie has done, no argument for me. TP mentioned Jeff Green and Joe Harris and the role players playing roles. But those roles are going to diminish once all the stars are essentially aligned for the playoff run. and they're going to be able to come off the bench and or come back in and recapture that if needed. Time will tell. I've said this. The Brooklyn Nets are a great team. They're a great team. But when you start playing, you know, this fall basketball, I'm not too sure they're going to have enough to actually come against, you know, the upper echelon teams that they may have to face to capture the championship. It's going to be fun to see how it pans out.
Spencer Dinwiddie is expected back too also. Just so you know, they're getting another gun. Another gun is coming into the saddle too.
When did that break?
Not like within this week or so, but they're saying that he's progressing. So let's just say that he's back around when the doorstep of the postseason. Like that's another piece for them. Like, and this guy knows what's going on with that team at least. So like, I don't know. In Milwaukee, like in the second round, it's like all you gotta do is just load the paint up, make sure y'all ain't getting deep into 3 seconds to stop Giannis. Because once Giannis get the ball, he's not passing to nobody. I've never seen Giannis kick to anybody. Giannis put his head down and try to make it happen, and they always bump him with charges. He'll get caught up offensive foul and turning the ball over like that. Until he changed that narrative, that's one thing that's gonna stick to him. I mean, there's too many open, gaping wounds that you can see right now with Milwaukee for them to be a concern. I'm literally looking at Philly being the lone team that can stop them, especially with Embiid going down today. Embiid got hurt today. Like, so Philly's dealing with injuries. And Simmons and Harris didn't play the other day. So Philly ain't no shoe-in. So, like y'all need to watch the whole board instead of just being enamored with what Brooklyn can do defensively or, oh, they missing a piece or two here. Like, that narrative is done. What are they going to do to stop them? Like, forget what they're going to do to stop other people. What are they going to do to stop Kyrie or Durant? You know what I'm saying? Like, KD, a walking bucket. I don't know too many people that could stop that shot. Like, they got, let alone the pieces that they do have there. I'm begging different, man. I'm going to agree to disagree. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Dinwiddie's back, that's a second-unit player that can play on anybody's first team. So that's a huge lift for this team, especially when you're talking about Durant not being 100% and possibly Harden not being 100% as well. I'm not downgrading the Nets. I just think once it gets deeper into the playoff run, you built this team to have your big three. Not having them there eventually, hopefully doesn't, but it should catch up with them, you know, theory tells you. So, I mean, Durant's got to be healthy. And, you know, I think holding him back is the smart move because we just said that that's what the Lakers need to do with Anthony Davis. So if we're saying that, we got to apply that to Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. And I think, you know, being cautious and getting him ready is the smart move, but we haven't seen him play so much this year. We're wondering, is it them trying to be cautious with him, or is he really not healthy and he's not going to be available like we want him to be in the playoffs? So that's kind of my mindset. But, yeah, I agree. Listen, they can get out of the East with two of the three. I did say that. I just think if you're talking about going against one Western Conference team in a seven-game series, and if it happens to be LeBron, I don't think two out of three is going to help. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on the Lakers if they have all three of those guys there. But we'll see. Listen, that's why we're debating it. That's why we can talk about it. We got to see it happen once it plays out. You know, one of us will have egg on his face, and the other one will be like, I told you so. I told you. But that's the fun of it. So, I don't know if we did talk about this last week, but I definitely, TP, I want to kick it right back to you. LaMarcus Aldridge retiring early with the health scare, the health issue. You know, you can touch on that real quick, you know, that he had to retire. And, you know, where do you think he ranks? You know, some of his numbers, you know, are they warranted for the Hall of Fame, or is he just one of those really good players that just doesn't really make it into the Hall of Fame or Hall of Great, however you want to say it?
Yeah, I think he should, you know, I feel bad that he has to retire, man, and I'm not going to lie, that's why I'm pulling for Brooklyn to win the championship, because I don't, you know, within the hands of God, it ain't right, you know what I'm saying? Like, God said that he needed to get up off the floor, and it's like, I wanted to see him at least compete for a championship, so it's like, at least try to get one to, like, help solidify your career because he did an awesome job in his career. One of the more unstoppable back-to-the-basket type of power forwards, and that's the type of ball I love. That's my position. I love the power forward position. And he's not as fierce as the player, I'm going to say, but his back-to-the-basket game reminds me of Sheed. When Sheed get cooking, it's like, man, there's trouble. I don't care what big man you put in front of him. He's going to hit that shot. And it's like L.A. was doing that in Portland. He got to San Antonio. I mean, he still had it, but it's just something about him and Pop's system, and him and Pop weren't getting along, so it's like, it got kind of, you know, cautiously questionable. But I don't know if he makes the Hall of Fame. It's tough, and I don't like the Hall of Fame. It's bothering me how they make these players wait. And there's a lot of players that are still waiting to get into the Hall of Fame, and there's guys like Yao Ming that are in the doggone Hall of Fame. That there's a ton of players that have done more in their NBA career, but he gets in because of the international presence. Like, I'm bothered by that. So it's like, I don't know if LaMarcus will make it because they'll hold him over. He didn't do this out of the third, or he didn't, like, they have so many different questionable positions. So I don't want to see that happen to him. I want to see him at least add a championship to his resume because he was a part of the team in Brooklyn. That's why I'm really pulling for Brooklyn for LaMarcus, man, because this is an unfortunate situation, and he's not a trash talker, and I'm usually one of the guys that like players that talk trash or get everybody hype, get the crowd involved. I'm that type of guy. And it's like LaMarcus just let his play do the talking. And I watched him since he was a Longhorn until he came into the league and was the big man in Portland. Then he got Dame. And then that was a short stint. And watching him turn from a young man into an old vet and where he is now. And it's, what, I think 35 years old. I watched him grow, you know. So it's tough to see this happen to LaMarcus Aldridge, man. And I wish him well and everything that he's going through. And, of course, he got money for hours, so I know he ain't worried about going broke. But I hope he makes the Hall of Fame. I hope he can get a championship. But, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. There's a lot of players, Chris Webber, that didn't get into the Hall of Fame that should be there. Sorry, I had to sneeze.
Webber's actually nominated this year, or he's in this year, so – But it took Webb this long. You see what I'm saying? It took Webb this long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Like, how is this guy 20-8 for his career and had to wait this long to get in the Hall? Give me a break.
Come on.
I mean, just his college career alone should get you – whatever.
Y'all got in there before and see Webb? Stop.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. C-Web. I mean, C-Web just on the bullets is I'm not going to go there. We're getting off topic.
It's a cookout. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's a cookout. It can happen.
It's the truth, man. Like, you know, I love C-Web, man. That was my dude, man. It would crush me that he couldn't get that one chip in Sacramento against the Lakers, man. That was a good Lakers team. But, you know, those Sac Kings, man, they had some – man, the Sac Kings, like Chris Webber, like they had some dudes, man. Bibby and Paya and oh my God, those teams are good. Yeah, but listen, Aldridge, man, you know, I think we did touch on it last week a little bit, so I'm not gonna beat it in too much. I definitely want to get your opinion, TP, but I hope he does get in. But you know, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for him to get in. A lot of guys coming up that definitely, you know, some first ballot guys that might get in, but. You know, listen, we're blessed that he said something. He did say, you know, something doesn't feel right. They got it checked out and, you know, didn't get to the point where we've seen, you know, guys, you know, die on the court because, you know, of a heart condition or health scare. So I'm thankful for him and his family that it didn't come to that he found it early. And, you know, is able to get it treated and is able to live a long life with his family. So I think if anything, there's a silver lining in the pain and the misery of not being able to continue doing what he loves and chase that chip with the Brooklyn Nets. So I don't know if Eric or Sirius had anything to add to that, but, I mean, you know, we could definitely move to the next dish if any of you guys want to, you know, add to LaMarcus Aldridge.
Nah. I spoke on it last week, man. We can keep moving.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, we're halfway through the cookout. Lots cooking up here. You listen, I, you know,
even though TP, you know, shushed me on my Yankees, I'm gonna talk about my other New York team because we balling. The Knicks, baby, 7 straight. We in that Knicks talk back. Knicks take. We back, but we're not playing good right now. But, you know, it's early. We still got a shot. But the Knicks, listen, playing well, playing from the 4th seed in the East. You know, 7 straight wins coming up for the 4th seed. Playing some good basketball right now. You know, playing well since the All-Star break. Defense is still a killer out there. You know, defense travels, and they're playing. You know, Tibbs got those boys playing some good basketball. Julius Randle looking like an all, at least a third team All-NBA selection right now. Playing some good basketball. I'll start with you, Sirius. I mean, you know, I'm biased. I got to talk my Knicks, but I mean, you know, are you impressed with what you've been seeing? And you know, are they a player away from being a really, really good team?
You know, honestly, man, I come on here and I love to stir the pot, but for this particular topic, I really can't. I really can't. These New York Knicks are playing some excellent ball, and right now they're only down 7 to the Atlanta Hawks. You know what I'm saying? We all sat here and we talked about Derrick Rose, and we talked about what his emergence, you know, getting back what Tibbs would do to his career, and you know the way they play ball, and how Julius Randle has finally, you know, been able to kind of put a team on his back and carry him the emergence of second year guard RJ Barrett from Duke, who looks like he's been in the gym and developed a jump shot and starting to figure things out. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. You know, it's good for the NBA when, in my opinion, their premier franchises. Or at least relevant. Now, am I picking the New York Knicks to make any type of deep run? Heck no. But they're relevant for the first time in damn near 20 years. So I'm going to let the Knicks fans breathe for now. I'm going to breathe for now. But no, I'm going to breathe for now.
Thank you, Sirius. I know it's painful for you to even admit that, but I appreciate it, brother. I'm just listening. Derrick Rose is a great story for me right now. Just the fact that, you know, he demanded the trade. Not demand. I mean, he wasn't a mile contender or anything, but wanted the trade, accepted the trade to go back to Tibbs, knows how to run the system. And listen, without Derrick Rose in the lineup, and we're talking about before the trade and those couple, I think it was like a couple of weeks that he didn't play because of COVID protocols, and then I think he had a little soreness in the ankle. They're 16-20. With him in the lineup, they're 16-7. Like, his impact on this Knicks team, the young guys that he's brought along, and the veteran leadership at the point guard, which we desperately needed. I mean, if I have to see Elgin Payton play point guard anymore for the Nets, I just want to put my head through the wall. But the impact that Rose has had, and to your point, Barrett emerging in his second year, after being snubbed in an all-rookie team, showing that he is worthy of being that number 3 pick, and Randle, the LSU product, playing some good basketball and really, you know, emerging to be a star in this league. So, I mean, Eric, I mean, talk to me about the Knicks. I don't expect them to make a deep run, but, I mean, hey, I think a win is you know, getting into the 4-5 seed, getting a playoff win, and getting into that second round and taking that defense to the limit with any team that they got to face. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy for the Knicks, man. During the early 90s, when the Lakers weren't too good and, you know, weren't in the playoffs as a youngster, man, always watching the Knicks battle the Bulls. And, you know, I was always rooting for the Knicks. Big Patrick Ewing fan, John Starks, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason. You know, I love that team, man. It was a fun team to watch. So the Knicks always have a, a spot in my heart, and it's been pretty terrible lately, or for a long time, you know, ever since then, actually, if you look at it. They had a few good runs, you know, in the early 2000s, but then, you know, non-existent. And then this will be the first time since 2013 getting into the playoffs. So, and, yeah, I like what Tibbs have done. They got a good young team that they're building around. Julius Randle has emerged into a star in this league, like, you know, he was projected when he was drafted. So it's nice to see. Reggie Bullock has been huge, you know, the whole year. Peyton is starting to play a little better. And R.J. Barrett, if he can get more consistent. And, I mean, man, Taj Gibson, Emmanuel Quickley, they've had good production all throughout their team. So, and then, like you said, Derrick Rose was a huge addition. He knows the offense. He knows Tibbs. So, yeah, I don't think the Knicks are going to be, you know, making a finals run. But, you know, they can get to definitely past the first round, maybe depending on, you know, the matchup and how they play, man. They're just getting better, it seems, the more they play together. So, and the chemistry is there. So, yeah, the Knicks are getting back into the playoffs. That's what matters. They're going to be a playoff team. And, you know, there's plenty to be happy about there in New York. And I'm sure you see it right there firsthand, Knicks fans have been craving this. They have a loyal fan base. They're one of the legendary NBA teams of all time. They play in the most legendary arena there is. So, you know what I mean, Madison Square Garden. So, yeah, it's just good to see, man. And that defense, Oregon, that'll be blasting in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens, man. Looking forward to it. You know?
Even Zion loves to play in the garden with a big smile on his face. Everybody saw that.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not gonna go crazy about, you know, the Knicks getting Zion like 3-4 years. But I mean, it's just great. Listen, Burks emerging as a sixth man of the year. You can't not talk about how great Noel and to your point Gibson have played in the center, especially with Robinson being hurt and likely not going to be back this year. You would think that's a big loss in the middle. They've kind of weathered that storm with those two vets. You know, Noel, who everybody wrote off, he played well in OKC and now he's come to New York and he's played some pretty good basketball. So shot blocker and protecting the rim and playing some really good defense. TP, I mean, Knicks talk. I know you hate talking Knicks, but I got to be excited. Seven straight wins, looking like a really solid playoff team right now. I don't think they're a contender with the big dogs, but, you know, they're going to give somebody some headaches with that defense that travels. Talk to me about the Knicks, TP.
I'm proud of your little soliloquy that you included Oklahoma City Thunder. I love that. That's a beautiful thing that you took a piece from us.
I had to get on your good
and
side.
It's helping. Hold on. I'll let you do what you needed to do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that I'm here to help. You know, I'm glad that I got you out here smiling. You know, one blue and orange team to another. You know, at least I helped you. You know what I'm saying? Life is harsh, hug me. You know what I'm saying? So you can do that, you know. Secondly, like, this is what's bothering me about the Knicks. That Robinson injury may hurt them because they may run into a team with a big, and I don't know how much Nerlens is going to be able to give them. Like, because Nerlens is their impact player off of the bench. Like, if they're going to get him to start is another thing. So I'm worried on how they're going to have to handle this. The Knicks are doing a good job right now, and I can't take away from what they're able to do right now. But the one thing that I'm still concerned about is Thibodeau, the coach, and trying to burn these guys out. I'm hoping that he can manage this as best as possible, because we've seen this story before when he was one of the electric teams in the East. We all know what happened, and this is the story. What if Derrick Rose didn't get injured? What would he have been like if he was still as dynamic as he was out the gate right there? And it's like, I'm wondering if Thibodeau don't burn these guys out and something happens like that. So he's going to have to watch this. As much as he wants to win and get a higher seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're doing a great job right now, this is something that I am concerned with, because this is going to stick with him until that he can prove that he could get back to an Eastern Conference Finals and get over the hump. But it would be incredible if he can get the Knicks there. But with them without Robinson, it's huge. But everybody's been stepping up, contributing, especially the way that Julius Randle has been handling himself. And even though the other day he got dunked on pretty bad by Porzingis, but, you know, I think that was Porzingis trying to get the Knicks back, and him being a 7'3" unicorn, you know, I think he wanted to just let them know that I'm still a monster. But other than that, I mean they were down to Atlanta. I mean, hopefully they could try and pull this game out, but this is an electric – run that they're on, especially getting toward the end of the season and seeing how they can get to the postseason and try to make a push. Hopefully they can at least hold on to the fourth. I doubt if they go higher, but if they can get at least home court in that first series, that helps them try to advance. But this is just me being realistic. Hopefully that their bench continues to help out. They have a little mob there, and, you know, shout out to the Knicks right now. I won't say that NKT stuff at all. It just won't happen, but, you know, they're doing a good job, though.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, first of all, KP is a unicorn because I don't see unicorns very often. So I barely see him on the court. That's just me being a
hater. Ask Julius Randle if he saw that unicorn.
I just, I bought my daughter a unicorn the other weekend, and she, you know what? It's so funny. She wouldn't go to sleep without it. She's like, "Dad, I can't find my unicorn." And it was in her bag, so because she takes it to school, so she had to get it before she went to bed. So, I mean, that's the only unicorns I really see. I don't really see the other one. From Latveria, whatever. I'm just, I'm a bit of
a fan. Hold on a second.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. You let your baby walk around with a unicorn after all that shade and stuff you threw about the unicorn Porzingis. Yeah. Come on now, baby.
Yeah, but see, it's not a unicorn for Porzingis. It was a doll that she wanted. We were on a vacation. My baby wanted it. So that it was a pink unicorn. We're not talking about KP. I'm just saying that's the only unicorns I'm used to seeing. I don't see the one in Dallas on the court very often, not on back-to-backs because, he's fragile. You know what I'm saying? But whatever. It is what it is. I can't even throw shade on him because, he is playing and, he has a couple good games here and there. So. But listen, the Knicks, I agree with you, TP. I don't see them getting higher than fourth. I don't think they're going to catch the Bucks or any of those teams. But a four seed right now, home court advantage is good for them. That's what you would like to see. And, I like to see the young kids quickly in top and starting to play some better basketball. Listen, it's just fun. And they're one player away, man. If they can get like a Beal or a point guard or something like that, it would be fun. In New York for real. But I'm gonna switch gears. We've got a little over 30 minutes left. Call in number 929-477-2759. The callers cookout with TP Timeless, Eric, Easy E, Big E, E Money, and Sirius, Aaron Simmons in the building with the place to be. I'm gonna switch gears to NFL because I did see some news come out today. And some news last week that we didn't really get to talk about, so I definitely want to touch on it, with the NFL expanding the regular season to 17 games. That was the ruling that came down. We heard some gripes about it from some of the players, but it's a business, and it's their business. So they're expanding to 17 games. NFL making a lot of moves in the offseason, not only with players, but, getting those big money deals with Amazon. Amazon looks like they're going to be a force in the digital streaming sports realm, getting the NFL exclusive rights to Thursday football. And then you got the rule changes that came down today, especially with instant replay. So now it's not going to take basically a coach's review, a flag thrown, to review any questionable call because of the technology that's available to the league and to referees in the booth. If they see something questionable, they can communicate down to the referees on the field to say, hey, we need to give this play a second look, i.e. plays like I think they're going to call it was plays out of bounds, questionable catches, all that good stuff. So trying to expand the rules of replay not to just have the flags thrown, but, since there's technology, we're going to have the referees in the booth communicate and try to get it right on the field because the technology is there. So a lot of things happening with the NFL off the field, moving into the draft and getting ready for the season. So I'll come right back to you, Mr. Sirius. The 17-game season, the replay changes, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Talk NFL with me, brother. What do you think?
You know what? I honestly – We sit here this time every year, and we sit there and get, you know, bombarded with different things that the NFL is trying to do to change the rules. And I for one, have sat here and was like, listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This is one year where I think that the NFL could potentially be getting everything correct as far as the rule book. I don't agree, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm not gonna really sway on it. I don't agree with the added game because this, unlike any other sport, is a contact sport. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys, you know, put their bodies and so much at risk. So to add another game, even though you're taking away a preseason game, which these guys wouldn't necessarily play anyway, especially, you know, your one, so to speak, I don't think that's right. That's fair. That's good. But I digress. I do like the number thing. You didn't mention the numbers, you know, situation where wide receivers and other punters and everything like that are able to wear numbers. You know what I'm saying? It kind of gives, you know, people like Juju and, you know, these other wide receivers the ability to go back to wearing single numbers like they did when they were in college. I like that aspect of things. I love the replay thing. So, honestly, for me, I think the NFL is trending in a positive direction. The one drawback outside of the schedule is the situation with the Thursday Night Football, with it just being aired on one particular network. I didn't like the ability to bounce back and forth between NFL Network or Fox or whatever the case may be. So I think that's going to come with some resistance. But at the end of the day, man, anytime we get the chance to move the game forward and talk football, the draft is next week. It's a good time to be a football fan. I was watching some spring training the other day for college. So it's good, man. It's good, man. It's all good.
Absolutely, man. I listen, I like the rule change, and I do. Listen, 17 games, not much of a difference. You're still playing preseason games. You know, there's just as much risk to get hurt in 16 games than there is in 17 games. It's just really money. It's all money. It's all it is. With the big deal with the digital, with Amazon and the dispute going on with DirecTV, I think, and all that, money. It's all it is, money. So, you know, 17 games, okay. If anything, these players should be happy they get an extra game to pad their stats and to chase records and to say, hey, I'm worth more money. Pay me. Pay me my money in cash. You know what I mean? So I kind of like it. So, and the rule changes, listen, get it right, man. I think we all learned that lesson from the New Orleans Saints game in the playoffs. Get it right, and get it right the first time. You know what I mean? Even, or if you can't, use the technology that you have available to get it right. You know what I mean? Don't take it away from these players. Eric, I'll come to you. With the rule changes in the 17-game season, what's your opinion? What are your thoughts on the moves that the NFL is making ahead of the season and how it's going to impact the NFL?
Yeah, the 17-game season, you know, I really don't. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I would have liked them to see, you know, maybe do you know, add another playoff team from each conference, you know, that'd be a little bit better. But the 17 game season, it benefits teams that are, you know, hanging on. You know, it's gonna make the playoff run a little bit more interesting. That's what it's gonna do. And like everybody touched on, of course, it's about the money. Amazon's, you know, pretty soon, I think DirecTV may lose their contract and everything's going to be through Amazon. So that's where I think the NFL is, you know, headed in the future. But, you know, as far as the replay, I think that's great. I would just like it to, for them to replay there instead of going, oh, we got to go back to New York and see what New York says. No, we're right here at the game. You have refs that can review it. So that's what I'd like to see change. Just review it where you're at. You don't need to call back to New York and see what they saw. You're seeing the same thing here. So that's the only head-scratching thing to me. It's like, why are we going to New York when you guys got the replay here. No other professional sport league does that. Oh, we got to, you know, they review it right there, like baseball. They're looking in there and doing it right there. So let the refs have control of the game and have it be done there by the refs that are officiating and these new refs that they got in the booth that are going, okay, this is a questionable call, let's review it. But that's great. Coaches don't have to burn, you know, challenges and timeouts, so that's going to be helpful. So overall, you know, I like it. And the 17-game season, you know, it's more for the money, and, you know, it's going to make the playoff run a little bit more interesting because we always see each year teams, you know, that are neck and neck battling out for playoff positions. So this will give those teams an extra chance to, you know, get in. So overall, I'm pleased with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the money that's going to come in with the NFL is going to benefit the owners first. That's why they're expanding to 17 games. But it's going to trickle down to the players eventually. I mean, you're looking at, like, CBS being able to stream their games through Paramount Plus. You're going to look at NBC being able to stream their games through their Peacock service that just got WWE Network. Fox is going to use Tubi. Disney's going to use ESPN Plus. Now, these games weren't going to be on those digital services. Now they're on there now. So there's a lot of digital money coming in. Amazon's exclusive for Thursday football, and they got a lot of money to spend, billions upon billions of dollars to try to wrestle, to your point, DirecTV's deal away that, you know, keeps – it's the worst deal because it's not digital, and the world is moving to a digital platform. I don't know many people that have a satellite service, or you know what I mean? Like, if they have DirecTV, it's through an app. You know what I mean? So that deal should be going by the wayside, and there's a lot of money to be had digitally. But, yeah, I'm in agreement. You know, maybe getting the NFL expanded the playoff-wise, but, you know, it's all about the money and how can they monetize it and capitalize that dollar and grow that big pot. TP, I'll come to you. A lot of changes coming with the NFL, coming the changes, you know, obviously going to generate a lot of revenue, but hopefully get a lot of things right in the games that we're seeing right now as far as replay and stuff. Talk to me. Tell me what you think about everything that's going on in the NFL right now.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's how I feel about the NFL right now. And they're doing this just to pull, and it's the narrative that's being pushed is money. And, I get it. You're supposed to grow and try to see what money you could pull in. But, I mean, 17 games, I mean, and this is more or less along the situations of what? You don't get to see too many of these players fight for position in the preseason, taking away the natural, you know, essence of the game and see if people position battle. Are you really getting to see what you're getting out of these guys in the preseason in those first three games? Like, and you know, a lot of your starters only play in week three. Like they don't get that much – you know, burn, if you will, in the first hand of the season or the first hand of the preseason. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, you got to look at both sides of the needle. Now, I agree with them stealing that stuff from DirecTV because DirecTV wasn't being fair to all football fans across the world.
Yep.
Like, I feel like they were being so stingy and selfish and trying to make everybody buy DirecTV and put up so much money for a doggone bill to watch TV, like the, let alone to watch the sport. And, you know, everybody, okay, let's just say me. I'm in the Northeast region of the United States. I like a team in the Midwest. Like, I have to buy DirecTV to watch my boys. Other than that, I can go to a doggone bar and watch the game. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, make it fair for everybody. Like, so – Or you're going to watch Red Zone and watch every time they get to the 20-yard. No, I want to see what my boy's doing every which way but loose in this doggone game. So this is Parma getting back at DirecTV and kind of forcing them out. And they're almost going to be to a phase, if you will, because who's really interested in buying DirecTV outside of trying to get a package like that? So, but I disagree. I think they should keep the 16-game season. That's me. I don't want to see them – you know, forcing this scenario and then down the road it don't work out and then they're stuck with it because they're not going to go backwards. They're not going to, you know, say, well, we're going to go back to 16-game season. Like, no, just how it progressed from the 14-game season from the 70s. So I don't know. I feel like, yeah, there is room for growth, but I think that this was just fine having a 16-game season. I think this is completely over greed think karma will get the people that are trying to line their pockets, whether it's Goodell, whether it's the owners, whether it's whomever. I mean, the players are the ones that are at risk here. It's not them.
Yeah, I agree that they're at risk, but they're at risk anytime they step on the field, and one extra game is one extra game. I mean, you still practice. You still play in preseason. I mean, you can get hurt at any time. We got guys that are getting hurt in the offseason. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you're trading one game that's in the regular season for that same game that would have been in the preseason that you could rest the guys. Okay. But, I mean, it's still a dangerous game. It's still a violent sport, and they can still get hurt regardless. You know, college football has played one extra game with the Bulls. And before the Bulls with the conference championship, it hasn't really hurt college football that much. I mean, they're the greediest people in the world. We all know that. But, I think it is what it is. And, you know, it is about it being a business and, you know, generating more revenue. But, to the other point, I love the replay rule. I love it. Get it right, man. I if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I think the replay system can be fixed and can be altered because we at home can watch a play and see it's right or wrong. And then, you know, they don't do anything about it on the field, and they have the same technology we have, if not better, with the replay camera. So get it right, man. Just, you know, I don't want these guys working their butts off and putting their lives on the line and their bodies on the line, and then having a blown call decide the outcome of the game. That's just, you know, and when you can fix it. That always has bothered me. So from that aspect, I do like the rule. So a lot of good things happening, you know, some bad, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. At the end of the day, the Shield is the Shield. We watch. We love the sport. We love talking about it. That usually never changes. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But one thing I definitely did want to bring up for Sirius, I'm going to come to you right quick, Sirius. Your boy, Mike Tomlin, getting a 3-year extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. And I know it's not super huge news. It came and it went. But, I mean, as an African-American, in seeing a lot of African-American coaches not keep their job very long, to see him, I think, enter his 15th year as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who've only had three coaches since the 60s, Nolan to Tomlin, is not a lot of people in between. There's only one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, talk to me about Tomlin being able to get that 3-year extension, the impact that it would have on the African American community, and just, you know, I love Tomlin as a coach. I think he's very underrated and very underappreciated as a coach in this league.
You know, honestly, man, it came as no shock for me, being a Steeler fan, and the rest of Steeler Nation kind of had a feeling this was coming. But in the grand scheme of things, this is a guy who seems to be able to lead men. We sit there and we joke about the way he phrases words and how he deals with the media. But at the end of the day, we got guys who will go through walls for this man. And that's just a testament of his character and how he handles his business on and off the field. He's a very passionate guy. He's a guy who really doesn't mix punches. You know exactly where he stands and why he stands there. And as one of the few African American head coaches in the NFL, I dare say minority coach. I want to include Ron Rivera, the Washington Football Team, in that discussion as well. It's a tip of the cap, you know. And today's day and age, you have to really fight two times harder than your counterparts at times to get ahead and to do things that you are well qualified to do. And Mike Tomlin managed to do that day in and day out. You know, he's going into his 15th year as being the head coach and has yet to have a losing season. Who does that? You know, and that's with a makeshift offensive line. That's with, you know, Ben Roethlisberger missing
two seasons ago with the elbow. That's with the efforts turning. Revolving door that is free agency or player personnel. So salute to Mike Tomlin. You know, his family, his lovely wife and his children for getting the deal done. And I'll be honest with you, I know he's not going to coach forever. And I said this very thing when Bill Cowher, decided to step away. I cried like an ugly girl. I mean, I was boo-hooing because I didn't want Mike Tomlin. I didn't want Bill Cowher to leave. I wasn't alive when Chuck Noll was coaching. I came up under Cowher, so he was the only coach I knew. He was the one that when I went to Three Rivers and met him on the 50-yard line, I mean, that was my guy. And now to hold Mike Tomlin in that same regard is a tremendous honor, and I salute him, and I wish him nothing but the best, man. Let's get number 7-for-7 this year. Let's get 7-for-7. We play that stupid division, that NFC division, I think it's the NFC North. We got them scrubs. Let's commit 7-for-7.
Yeah, you don't want them with the NFC East. No, I'm kidding.
Week That's one, right. Game one last year. It's going to take several seats.
I know. But we actually played you guys pretty tough in the second half, so I got to give him credit. But listen, he's one of the best coaches in the game, and I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. I mean, Tomlin. And, what the best coaching job he did out of all the seasons, winning seasons, going to the Super Bowl, was last year, where that team had no quarterback, had a third-string quarterback, and had them at 500. That, to me, just showed me how good of a coach he was. And, Belichick is one of the greatest coaches. Many opinions have him as the greatest. I have him number two. But, I mean, he loses Tom Brady, and they're a game under 500. That's basically all you need to hear from me. But, Eric, I'll come to you. Tomlin, 3-year extension to coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are your thoughts about it, and what do you think the Steelers net out this coming season?
Absolutely. Great. I think Tomlin's there until he retires, to tell you the truth. He's a great coach. In a sense, he is a face of that organization, like Bill Cowher was back in the days. So, and he took over for him, and he's right out the gate every year. I mean, the Steelers are they put out a competitive team each and every year. Just like you just touched on, he is one of the best coaches in all of football right now. So, you can put him in the conversation of, top 10 greatest coaches of all time, in my opinion. So I really like him. I think he's a great coach. The Steelers, it's a win-win for them. And the Steelers are poised to make a Super Bowl run this year for coming up, for sure. Look what they did last year, and I think they're only going to build on that. It was kind of stunning to see him falter against the Browns, but the Browns were on a really hot streak, and it was just still stunning that they allowed the Browns to score that many points when the Steelers notoriously always have a good defense. So I like the signing, and I think Tomlin's going to be there for a lot longer than 3 years. I think he's going to be there as long as he wants to coach in this game.
I wonder why you didn't get a longer extension. I don't want to stir the pot, but, I mean, is it like, hey, you need another chip and you got 3 years to do it? Or, they're saying, hey, Roethlisberger one more year, then it might be a slight rebuild. We'll see where we net out. Who knows? But, I mean, I agree. Listen, I think he should be there until he retires. Until I retire, like T.I. said. But, T.P., I'll come to you with Mike Tomlin. Getting a 3-year extension to keep coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers into his 15th season. Talk to me about Mike Tomlin, where you think he kind of nets out.
I really want to give a shout out to the Rooney family and the opportunity to give them, especially with all of the talk that they were like, if he's not going to make it past, let's just say the AFC Championship or get them back to another Super Bowl, they're going to get rid of him. And, he's actually been doing an exceptional job since he's been there. He's gotten a Super Bowl, and he's never had a losing season, right? So I mean, I give the Rooney family a ton of credit for at least still going with him, knowing that he's been able to produce, especially with the hands that they've been dealing with management up top. So whatever he's been getting, they've at least been at the upper echelon in the AFC North. So whatever he's been able to create. And when I think of Mike Tomlin, I think of a song by Kanye West, and it goes, we don't care what people say. And the hook is everything. If you listen to the hook of that song and just know the struggle of how, you know, it ain't that many African-American coaches in the NFL, and he's one of them, and to be able to hang on to a job since, what, 2006? So 2006 until now, that he's been the guy since Cowher laid it down, I mean, it speaks volumes for Mike Tomlin. And I think last year or the year before, he let you know where he came from out there in the beach area in Virginia, and I got people out there, so it's like, I know what it's like out there in the Virginia beach area. For him to make it from there to where he is now and being a household name, at least in the state of Pennsylvania, especially for one of the bigger teams in the NFL and in the United States of America, it speaks volumes of what Mike Tomlin was able to create and be able to deal with, especially dealing with Antonio Brown and his actions in that locker room, or dealing with LeGarrette Blount and Le'Veon Bell, and watching those guys depart, knowing that they have pieces to at least get them to a Super Bowl, and had to watch all of them leave and still be a threat year by year, and especially trying to dominate the AFC North as much as possible. As much as me and Aaron go at it a lot, but I give Mike Tomlin a ton of credit, and I want to see him succeed, and I don't want to see the Steelers win a Super Bowl for Aaron purposes, but I do want to see him win just because of what Tomlin could create. So it's a great story, and of course, as you know, with Barry Wolfie, I know I'm a Ben Roethlisberger fan, but all of the clouds that are around Ben Roethlisberger too, and knowing the camaraderie that Roethlisberger and Tomlin have is a great thing. Like, it's a good story, but there's still people that talk a lot of crap about both of them. So, I mean, it's a success story in itself. If they can get back to the promised land and make it happen, it'd be great. But I don't know if that's etched in stone, especially with the way that Ben has looked at the end of the season last year.
Right, I mean, it's going to be tough. The AFC is tough. You know, you still got the Chiefs. The Bills are looking good. The Browns are on the come in Baltimore. But, you know, Tomlin is just the embodiment to me of the whole Rooney Rule, the hiring process. Because you remember, guys, when – and, serious, you know better than I do. When Kyle retired, they didn't really want Tomlin. They kind of interviewed him just because – they had to hire or had to interview a minority candidate, and he wowed them. And they were like, I can't let this guy leave this room without giving him this job. And look at how he's, you know, repaid that franchise to have faith in hiring an African-American, a minority person to lead men, that lead minorities on the field. You know, he's the reason why the Rooney Rule worked. I love him. I really do. I think he's a great coach. I love to see him succeed, you know, and he's a great story, and I hope he gets the right to end to his chapter the way he wants to your guys' point. But, yeah, I love it. But, yeah, we got under 10 minutes left. I don't know if, you know, anybody else got anything they want to put on the grill, anything you want to cook up real fast. What are we talking about here?
But how about everyone's thought on Julius Edelman hanging it up? You know, a pretty great career. I thought he would maybe hang around for a bit longer. Yeah, exactly. What's everybody's thoughts on that?
Yeah, we didn't touch on that last week. That's a good point, Eric. I mean, yeah, I'll go really quickly. I think he maximized his career. He got the most out of it. I think, you know, Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer, but I think, you know, to have the career that he had, getting the most out of what he could do out in Miami and especially in New England, hats off to him. Great career, and he's a legend in New England in the Boston, Massachusetts area for life, just because, you know, he embodied that team. I don't know what anybody else thinks about Julian Edelman and announcing his retirement.
You know, honestly, for me, this comes, in my opinion, a year shy of when I thought he would actually do it. So for me, I think he'll go down
as a good player. But I've gotten into several arguments and discussions on social media in regards to him being a Hall of Fame player, and I'm not going to use the language that I use on social media, but the answer to that question was negative. You got people like Hines Ward. You got people like Sterling Sharp and others alike who have yet to get their call with life-changing stats, like double Julian Edelman stats. And you want to say just because he played, you know, with the New England Patriots and was what was a contributor to the efforts, you know, for them to get the Super Bowl rings, that he automatically is into the Hall of Fame? Nah, miss me with that. Try again another time. That's not going to work. So, salute to Julian Edelman. I think we all kind of thought he would try to jump on with Tom Brady down there in Tampa. Obviously, that didn't work out. The bigger question I have, and this is something that we can get into another time, is where the heck does Antonio Brown land? That's one of the conversations for another day. I'm gonna leave you with that little teaser. I have a couple of suspicious ideas, but to answer the question at hand, Julian Edelman, you know, great career, but definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Serious blog about it. Blog about Antonio Brown. I guess he just settled the dispute with his ex-trainer. But, yeah, dude, blog about it, man. We need to know what you think, man, where you think he's going to end up. So, PP, Julian Edelman, and if you want to talk about Antonio Brown as well.
Okay, I think Julian Edelman is retiring due to, like, a depressing situation watching Tom Brady go down to, you know, Florida, get a championship, and then watching everything happen in New England, what just happened with, you know, COVID and Cam Newton not playing up to expectancy, and rather not risk injury and try to watch this team rebuild while he's older. It's best to step away while he's doing okay in life. Like, he's settled probably financially. He's able to, you know, do – you know, extracurricular activities without too much pain. I mean, he's tore his knee up. He's going through his concussion situation. You don't want to, you know, get long in the tooth, especially where he plays. He's playing underneath and in the middle of the field. He can run into a linebacker that'll end up cleaning his clock. So that's something I'm thinking about with Julian Edelman, trying to leave the game healthy instead of being, you know, hurt impact-wise. And the Antonio Brown situation, I'm just now hearing more about it. I got to hear more about the situation. I thought that he would probably go back to Tampa Bay to try to run that back, but it sounds like it's not happening. So I'll probably have to do more research on that. But I know this, Barry, you are the new Neo. Forget MF Doom. You are dodging bullets. And I love every last bit of it. It's okay. It's okay.
What are you talking about? How am I dodging bullets? We're talking sports.
Ten stripes.
They lost. They stink. Right. There you go. That's your segment.
Hold on. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off.
Listen. That's your segment. Yankees stink.
Hold on. Everybody else got to get their clothes out, and then now you're on the air going crazy because you up here dodging bullets, Matrix. So I'm going to let you do what you do. We'll get out of here as best as possible.
All right. I'll be Agent Smith. Yankees stink. That's your segment. There you go. cut dry. There you go. Start segment, end segment. I think Brown better go to the Ravens. The Ravens better – that GM talking about he's got receivers. No, you don't. You better go get Antonio Brown. But, yeah, listen, Edelman's not a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's had more than one season over 1,000 yards. So, nah, not a Hall of Famer. But quick closeouts. Eric, give me a close, brother.
As always, it's been a blast. Timeless, my brother, I hope you're having a blessed time out there, man, and everything's going well. Sirius, Barry, you already know, and check us out, sportscitychefs.com. Everybody get the merch out there. Got coffee mugs, hoodies, shirts. Get out there and represent. Everybody have a blessed night.
Absolutely. Sirius, give me a plug, brother. 60 seconds.
Man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703. Such a pleasure to be here, man. Definitely it's a pleasure to talk to you guys again. Definitely check out the website out, the blogs. I may have to get back on the pen. Definitely check out the merch, man. We got some stuff coming down the pipe, man. It's been good. I'll be easy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you guys for joining us today. The Callers Cookout, doing a lot of great things. Get to the website, read the blogs, the podcast, the interviews, get the merch. We're going to have some new stuff up there pretty soon. But TP, you already know what to do, man. Do your thing. Close us out, brother.
Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.